Open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Tonight. Last week, we talked a little bit about prayer and the importance of crying out to God and trusting in Him and the vitalness of our prayer life. Today, I want to talk to you a little bit about rightly dividing the word of truth. And I know maybe some of you are expecting like a Christmas lesson, but I just feel compelled the last couple of weeks to try to end this year getting back to the basics. And I don't know that it gets any more basic than prayer and Bible study, but I don't know that there's anything more important than prayer and Bible study for the Christian. We desperately need to spend more time and better time in prayer. We desperately need to spend more time and better time in Bible study. And so we're going to look to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. I want to welcome anybody joining us on our live stream. And just in case you talk to anybody who does live stream, ran into a problem with our YouTube channel. We have to have a 1,000 subscribers to live stream on YouTube now the way that we've been doing it. There's a workaround, but I didn't know about the problem until right before services tonight. So we'll try to get that fixed. We'll have the YouTube live stream as well. But tonight we're just on the Facebook live stream. So if you talk to anybody about that, if they ask you about it, that's what's going on. And I know you're shocked, but we don't have 1,000 subscribers on YouTube yet. Yet. God bless you. We're at 71 right now, and so we got a long ways to go. So any of you that have a YouTube account, if you don't mind, go on to YouTube. Make sure to like and subscribe the Calvary Missionary Baptist Church YouTube channel and help us along our way to 1,000 subscribers. I'm going to tell you, I never thought in my life that I would stand. Goodness gracious, that's where we're at. 2020 has done a lot of things to me I never thought would happen, but here we are. Yeah, I know, yeah. Hit the like button down here, and they always point to the wrong place on the screen, right? Or they're trying to point at the words, and they point at them backwards or whatever. Yeah, that's the way it is today. Welcome. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Let's stand together if you're able. So many times in our life, we're looking for answers. A lot of people, certainly right now in the middle of 2020, coming to the end of 2020, are looking for answers. People don't understand why we have a pandemic. They don't understand why we have all the turmoil and the division. They don't understand why we can't elect a president. They don't understand why bad things are happening in their lives. And they're looking for answers in all kinds of places. And I would submit to you tonight that the answers are right here. They're in the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together. We pray that you'll bless our time in your word tonight. I pray that we can rightly divide the word of truth. I pray that tonight and every day we'll realize that our Bibles are the very word of God, that it's the word of truth, and that we don't have to wonder what the truth is, and we don't have to worry about what the truth is, and we don't have to be deceived thinking that there's different truths available. We know the truth, and it's the word of God, the written word in our Bibles, and the living word, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray that you would get glory in what we do here tonight. I pray that you'd help all of us, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I told you the truth is right where you're at. Where you can find it is right here in your Bible. I heard a story about a ship that was stuck in the olden days, the sailing days, and they were stuck off of a coast, and they were out of fresh water, and it hadn't rained, so they weren't able to collect any fresh water, and they were coming down to the very end. People were starting to get sick, and it was a very dangerous time when another ship came in. Now, in those days, they were able to signal each other messages back and forth with flags and different things, and they signaled. They asked them if they had any water. They needed water. And the other ship that had come in signaled to them and said, "Let down your buckets where you are." And they said, you don't understand. We're out of fresh water. We need fresh water. We're dying over here. And they said, let down your buckets where you are. And what the ship that was stuck there didn't realize is they were anchored just outside of a river that flowed into the ocean. And where they were, fresh water was available right there. They didn't have to wait for rain. They didn't have to go somewhere else. The water that they needed to save their lives was right there all the time, and they just didn't know it. And I think sometimes we're a lot like that as Christians. We're trying to find answers somewhere else. We're looking on the internet, or we're looking to somebody else, or we're looking to some book or some author or some video on YouTube, and we're trying to find answers everywhere else. And what we need to do is let down our buckets right here. It's right here, the truth, the living Word of God. His water is flowing freely, and it's living water that we need desperately, and it's right there, and it's available to us. The same is true as His Holy Spirit. We don't need to go somewhere else for power, for our energy, for our teaching, for our guidance. His Spirit is right there. And so tonight, I pray that God will encourage our hearts to just let down our buckets where we are. The Word of God, Hebrews 4:12 says, is quick, it's living. It's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So when we handle the Word of God, we need to understand that we need to strive to handle it skillfully. I wouldn't take a real double-edged sword and give it to one of my boys and say, hey, you guys go out in the yard and play. Like, I don't even, you know, we don't even let them do that with sharp sticks, right? It's dangerous business. Listen, we need to understand the Word of God is serious business, and we need to learn to handle it skillfully. We need to understand that it has a purpose. Listen, the Word of God isn't to be played with. It's a weapon in the Spirit's hands, and what it does is it kills sin. And what it does is it gives life. The Word of God is serious. He tells us here in our verse that we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. This word study is an interesting word. It literally means to use speed. It means to make effort, to be prompt, or to be earnest, to be serious. It's translated in our King James Bible. The word is translated usually diligent, or to endeavor, or to labor. So when it says study to show thyself approved unto God, usually we think, I don't know about you, but I get the picture in my mind, my old college days. And I usually studied really hard the night before the test. I mean, not the month ahead or the weeks ahead or the days ahead, but the night before. Did anybody else do that? We called those cram sessions where you just stay up all night and try to jam as much as you can in there and hope that it stays long enough to fall out into the test, and then it's gone forever, right? I get those pictures in my mind of having my textbook out and my notebooks out and trying to go back through the notes that I didn't take. I don't know if you know this, but Melissa and I had several college classes together, and I'll just go ahead and confess to you, she was really good at taking notes in class. And I was really good at sleeping in class. And it worked out really well for me because she would take the notes and I would use her notes to study. I'm telling you, that lady loves me, and she must have, because I'm telling you right now, if I took notes in class and somebody else was sleeping, they ain't getting my notes. But she was merciful. She was kind. And I get that picture in my mind of studying, and certainly we get that, right? We want to study to show ourselves approved unto God, but what it literally means is to be diligent. It means to endeavor. And listen, if you're going to show yourself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth, it's going to take some effort on your part. It takes some effort just right now, sitting through a lesson or a sermon. It takes effort on your part. If you're going to get anything out of it, you've got to put some effort into it. You're going to have to put some effort into it in your home Bible study, because I promise there's going to be a lot of days you're going to wake up and you're going to think, you know, I think I'd rather sleep another 30 minutes than get up and read my Bible. There's going to be times when you're going to be rushed. There's going to be times when you're not going to really pay attention to what you're reading. I don't know if you've ever done this, but have you ever been reading your Bible and you read a verse and another verse and another verse and your mind wanders? And then you go, what did I just read? And then you got to go back and read it again. What is that? What is that? Listen, friends, that's being diligent. That's when you come back and you make yourself focus and you endeavor to study the Word of God, that you don't just let that go and say, well, I read through the verses, I skimmed through it, I checked it off my list. No, because we are studying, we're studying to show ourselves approved. We've got to be diligent. And by the way, we've got to be personally responsible. I can't learn the Bible for you. You can't learn the Bible for your kids. I can't learn the Bible for somebody else. I can't study for you. My diligence, my laboring, my endeavoring, that's to show myself approved. I have to take personal responsibility for learning the Bible. And friends, this is so vital that our young people get this, that they are going to be personally responsible for their understanding of God and their obedience to God. Listen, one day I'm going to stand before God in judgment. One day my children will stand before God in judgment. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, when I am judged by God, I'm not going to be able to say, hey, my mom and dad, I'm going to show myself approved or disapproved before God. And one day my kids, they're not going to be able to point the finger at mom and dad and say, well, mom and dad this or mom and dad that. No, they are going to be responsible for themselves. Hey, that'd make a whole great sermon all by itself, wouldn't it? Personal responsibility in America today. We need some of that in every area of our lives, but primarily in the business of studying the Word of God, to show yourself to the ideas that it has. This word of showing yourself has the idea of to substantiate, to prove. And you do it yourself. You do it yourself. Every day we have opportunity to be diligent in the Word of God, and we're going to show ourselves either approved or disapproved. Not only do we need to be diligent and personally responsible, but I believe Paul's telling young Timothy, we need to remember who we serve. Amen. Study to show yourself approved unto God. I think it's commendable a lot of times with the kids. Maybe we'll have a contest, or maybe we'll offer them a reward. If you'll memorize this verse, we'll give you a reward. Or if you'll do this, you'll get a reward. And I remember when I was in Sunday school class and we had things like that, I'm just going to be honest, my motives weren't really good. For me, it wasn't even getting the reward. And it wasn't even really beating my friends. It was just not embarrassing myself in front of my friends. Like, I didn't want to be the only one who didn't memorize the verse. I didn't want to be the only one that... So what was my concern? Well, my concern was being approved to my peers. But that's not why we study the Bible. Amen. We don't study the Bible so we don't look dumb to our friends. We study the Bible to show ourselves approved unto God. We need to remember who it is that we serve. Approved unto God, acceptable to God. James chapter 1 and verse 12. James chapter 1 and verse 12 uses the same Greek word that we have here for the word approved. And he said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, that's the same word as approved, when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that loved him. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation when he is tried. This idea of being approved unto God means that God is looking at us and he's testing us and he's proving us to see whether we love him enough to study and be diligent in his word. When some of you guys have been around long enough, did you ever write notes back and forth with your boyfriend or girlfriend? You ever do that? Can I get somebody? My girlfriend used to write me notes. She did. They was real sweet. Then I married her and she quit writing me notes. What happened with that? I wonder sometimes. I remember I went off to church camp one year and Melissa didn't get to go with, and she sent me a note. One for every day. Aw, right? That's sweet. Now, I want you to imagine with me for a moment what it would have been like when I came home and she said, did you read my notes? And I said, you know, I meant to, but I was too busy. You think that would have went over well? Now, any of you know Melissa at all, you know that would not have gone over well. Now, nowadays, it's this. Did you get my text? Nobody? Nobody has that problem? Just me? Okay. My notifications are messed up, okay? My phone updated, and I'm just not getting my notifications. That's a true statement. So, it's a true statement. So whenever you guys text me or call me, that's what's wrong right now. I can't figure out what's wrong. What's the point? There is a point. Starting to wonder, I know. When you love somebody, you care enough to read what they write to you. Listen, if you got any sense at all, fellas, when your wife texts you, you don't ignore her text. You don't do that. And God has written us his word, and we ignore it. And he's looking at us to see, to test us, to prove us whether or not we care enough about what he has to say to us. We need to remember who we serve. We are looking to be approved unto God. Approved unto God, a workman. You see, we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are laborers for the Lord Jesus Christ. This workman is a laborer, somebody who does work, that we're supposed to do business. And some of the business that we're supposed to do as Christians is to be diligent in the word of God. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 through 25. Colossians 3, 23 through 25. He says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." We're trying to be approved unto God, and God's watching what we do, whether it's good or bad. And remember, you serve the Lord Christ. Now, some of you might not think that studying your Bible, like, you might look at that and kind of roll your eyes like, that's not hard, that's easy. But I promise you, I've done physical labor, and I've done labor in studying the Word of God. And I can promise you that when you're diligent in Bible study, it's just as hard. Amen. It's hard. It's difficult. It takes effort. And it's work to study the Word of God. But I promise you this, it has more rewards than any job you could ever do on this earth. Amen. Remember who you serve. Remember why you serve. He says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." We want to please the Lord Jesus Christ. We serve the Lord Christ, and we want to give him glory. We don't want to be ashamed at his coming. 1 John 2:28 says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." I wonder, what do you think the Lord expects of us? I want you to think about how many years it's been since you got saved. Think about how many months since you were saved. How many weeks since you were saved? How many days since you were saved? I want you to imagine how much opportunity you and I have had from the moment we came to Christ to this moment tonight, and how much of that opportunity we have wasted, how much more we ought to know than we do, how much better we ought to know him than we do, how much better we ought to understand when we look into the Word of God, when we look into that perfect law of liberty, how much better we should understand how Jesus fulfilled all things from the Old Testament, how he fulfilled all things, and how all those things tie together, how much deeper our knowledge ought to be than it is. We don't want to be ashamed that it's coming. Now listen, you and I we can't do anything about yesterday. It's gone. But I can do something about today. I can do something about today. And if tomorrow comes, I can do something about that. I can take advantage of the time that I have and be diligent in the study of God's word. He says, rightly dividing the word of truth. This phrase, rightly dividing, literally means to cut straight. It literally means to cut straight. Now, allow me a little bit of an illustration. How many of you ever had to plow a field? Anybody? All right. Really? Tell me about that. Okay. A few of you, like just a few. Now, when my folks were growing up, everybody had plowed a field because that's everybody did that. Right? Now my generation, I've seen a plow. I've seen other people use plows, but I've never plowed a field. Now, I've told you before about Zig Ziglar, and I love Zig Ziglar. I love his stories, but he used to tell the story when he was a little boy. He was just big enough to run the plow, and his mama got him set up out there in the field, and she got him all hitched up and ready to go, and she said, "Now, son, you see that tree on the other side of the field? You look at that tree, and you go right at it." Everybody with me right now? And he got down there to the other side, and he was so proud, and he got back, and he turned around and looked, and he said that furrow was all over the place. And mama came over to look at it, looked down that row, and she said, "Son, I think you're going to have to lick that calf again." And he said, "Mama, I ain't been licking no calves. I've been plowing." What is it to cut straight the word of truth? It means that we've plowed it straight. We've divided it correctly. That we're not here and there and all over the place, but we're right in line with what the word of God says. How does that happen? I'm going to tell you what I think. It goes back to the message we had Sunday. I think that you've got to fix your eyes on Jesus. And whatever verse you're going through, whatever book you're going through, whatever passage of scripture, whatever word in particular you're going through, you got to fix your eyes on Jesus while you go through the word. And when you keep him at the focus, when it's all about him and who he is and what he's done, it'll keep you straight. Amen. And you'll rightly divide the word of God because it's about him. He is the living word, and this is his written word, and he is truth, and this book is truth. How much attention do we give to the word of God? I told you before about a man named John Getch. I like to listen to him preach. I like to read some of his books, and the first time I'd ever heard him speak, at that time, he had memorized over 14,000 verses of the Bible. I don't know that I could count to 14,000 all at once, but he has over 14,000 Bible verses memorized. I look at that and go, man, that's amazing. That's incredible. But the reality is we're amazed by Christians who know their Bible really well. It's really impressive to us when they memorize a lot of verses, but the truth is a Christian who knows a lot of the Bible by heart shouldn't be that extraordinary. That shouldn't be such a rare thing. Christians who know the word of God ought to be commonplace. It ought to be that if we are saved by Jesus and we love Jesus, then we love his word and we know his word because we spend time with his word. I hear people tell me they can't memorize things. So I just can't remember my Bible. I'm too old. I can't do that anymore. But then I get to talking to them about something they love and they know all kinds of stuff. I can't remember my Bible, but you find somebody who says they can't remember their Bible, but then they love OU football, and they can tell you every player and all their stats and everything that's happened all year long, and they've got all that memorized. Why? Because they love it, and they know it. And if we love the Word of God, then we'll know the Word of God. Guys tell me, I just can't memorize my Bible. I just can't keep it in my head like I used to. And then I start talking about rifles and bullets and ballistics, and they're telling me all about every kind of gun and every kind of ammunition and all the different grains and all the different everything. And I'm going,
Mm-hmm. How do you know all that? Because they love it. And if we love it, we know it. And I'm telling you that we ought to love the Word of God. One survey that was done several years ago said 88% of the people they surveyed owned a Bible. 80% of them believed the Bible was a sacred book. And out of those 80% that thought the Bible was sacred, 61% said that they wish they read the Bible more. We all believe, 80% believe it's sacred. 61% said, I wish I read it more. But only 26% of them said they read their Bible on a regular basis. You see, most of us believe the Bible is the Word of God. We believe that it's sacred. We believe that we need to read it more. But very few people faithfully study the Word of God. Lifeway did a survey several years ago. And Lifeway surveyed all these people. 90% of them said they had a desire to please and honor Jesus in all I do. 90% of them said, I desire to please and honor Jesus in all that I do. And would you not say that tonight? I want to please and honor Jesus in all that I do. 19% of them. 19% personally read their Bible every day. There's a disconnect. If you say, I want to please and honor Jesus in everything I do, and you don't read your Bible every day, we can't please and honor Jesus and ignore his word. It's impossible. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. We look to the word of God to learn and to grow. Romans 15:4 says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And we ought to desire, like newborn babes, we ought to desire the sincere milk of the word of God that we may grow thereby. We've got to have a desire for it. I want to give you a Bible example of some people who love the word of God as we wrap it up tonight. Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. You find Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1. This is a great picture of some people who love the Word of God and wanted to grow by it. All the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake to Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. Now, you need to understand, in those days, most people couldn't read. The vast majority of people could not read. Only a handful of people could read. And so the people said, we want to hear the word of God. So they went to Ezra. They all came together and said, Ezra, get the Bible. We want to hear from God. Everybody with me? As one man, they had unity to come together. They said, we want to hear from God. And verse 3 says, he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Listen, some of you are already ready for me to stop talking. They were there from morning through the day. And they listened attentively. Why? Because they were hungry for the truth. They were hungry for the truth. They were attentive to the book of the law. Verse 4, Ezra the scribe stood upon the pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose. Beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema and Ananiah and Urijah and Hilkiah and Maaseiah on his right hand, and on his left hand, Padiah, and Mishael, and Malchiah, and Hashem, and Hashbadanan, and Zechariah, and Meshullam. Now, if you're wondering if I pronounced those names right, I don't know. But if you read them fast enough, it doesn't matter. So I'm trying to help you out in your Bible study. Some of you are like, man, I don't know how to say that. Me neither. Just do the best you can. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Did you see that? Some of y'all wondering, why does he always have a stand up when it's time to read the Bible? Well, there you go. I didn't make it up. Got it from Ezra. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen. Amen. Which is a lot of good stuff right here. Hey, Ezra opened up the book. He was standing up on the platform so everybody could see him and hear him. And he opened up the book and he said, Bless the Lord. Amen. And all the people said, Amen. 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 It's good, isn't it? And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Well, we're good Baptists, but that's getting a little carried away, isn't it? I don't think so. Hey, these people were excited to hear the truth. They were starving for the truth. And they loved the truth when they heard it. And they raised their hands and they blessed God. And when God's word affected their hearts, they got down on their faces. Down on their faces. People have asked me a lot of times, why do we have an altar? Why do we have people come down to the front? Why do we all those things? How about this? Hard to get on your face where you're sitting in your pew back there. Hard to get serious and do business with God and humble yourself before him back there. That's one reason. They didn't have nice, soft pews. Everybody was standing up until the word of God got a hold of their heart, and then they were on their faces before God. When I read scriptures like this, I got to tell you, it convicts me at how little impact the Word of God has on us today. Look at verse 7. Also, Jeshua, Benai, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akab, Shabbathiah, Hodijah, Maaseiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law. The people stood in their place. Look at verse 8. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. They read it distinctly. They were very careful in reading the word of God to make sure it was understood clearly. And then they gave the sense of it. They read it and then they explained it and cause the people to understand what the Word of God said. These people had a desire for the Word of God. And friends, we are so incredibly blessed in our generation. I know some of you lament, like, I should have been born 100 years ago, and why did I have to be born now? And I'll just go ahead and tell you, you had to be born now because that was God's will for you to be born now. But you got to realize how blessed you are, because I'm going to venture that almost everyone hearing this message is literate. You can read. You have any idea how blessed you are? The average Christian in America has 4.4 Bibles in their home. I would venture to say that the majority of the people in this room and listening online have way more than 4 Bibles in their house. And now we have smartphones. I've got study Bibles and concordances and interlinear Bibles in my phone that, listen, just 10 years ago, even 15 years ago, I would never have dreamed to have access to the knowledge of the Word of God that I have right in my phone. We are so incredibly blessed. We have more opportunity than anyone in history to know the Bible, to rightly divide the Word of truth. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's a lot that we don't understand in the world today. There's a lot that we need help with. And the answers are going to be found in the word of God. As we approach the end of this year, we don't want to just say, hey, we've come to the finish line. Listen, we want to move forward into the new year. And the only way we're going to do that in a way that's approved by God is to be faithful in our Bible reading, our Bible study, our prayer. I don't know if you ever got tired of the political messages. I don't know when they started ending all of them by "this message is approved by." I'm Donald Trump and I approve this message. I'm Joe Biden and I approve this message. I don't know about any of that. I don't necessarily care about any of that. But I do want what we do with our lives to be approved by God. Tonight, let's stand together. And as we get ready for a verse of invitation, God help us to go from tonight, strive to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Understanding all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's all profitable. But it's not going to be profitable to us if we don't study it, if we're not diligent. The Holy Spirit's convicting your heart tonight. Whatever burden there might be, bring it to the Lord as we pray, as we sing.